Well, I'm very excited, as you know. This is a new chapter in the life of Christ Covenant Church. I want you to know it's a day that I have prayed for and prayed about, that the Lord would guide and direct our steps. And he's a faithful God, isn't he? And he has done that. And Greg, I'm so glad, because I wanted to just read a couple of verses, and I thought you were going to read them, and that would have been cool if you did. We love when that happens, don't we? But I'd just like to read Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. It says, I will enter your gates with thanksgiving, O Lord, and your courts with praise. I will give thanks to you and bless your name, for you are good, and your loving kindness endures forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And that's what I'm declaring as an almost 63-year-old pastor that's standing for you today, that there's a young man that's coming and his wife that God has called, and God is faithful, and they love the Lord, and they are grateful for this call in their lives. And so I want to just receive them this morning. I have just a few things that I want to share as a confirmation about God's calling to Pastor Ryan and Isabel and to all of their family. This morning, I am doing something that's very important to me. I am handing off the leadership, the baton, to Pastor Ryan to lead you, to be your pastor, and to care for you and all that God has in the future. And it's a great future. There's a destiny and a future that Christ Covenant Church has moving in to these years ahead. Now, I want to, as I'm going to begin to do this, I want to ask the elders and our wives if they would just join us. Okay, would you join me? I'm going to ask Brother John Stemper to come, who served me, and Dan Lowry and Kelly to come. Dan has served as an elder during my watch in these 15 years and beyond. 50? Yeah, I'm not that old. I was like one of the young kings back in the Old Testament. You know, I started at 13. No, I'm only kidding. These are the reasons, and there's a lot of reasons that we saw, but there's one really significant reason, and I want to give just four significant confirmations for the reasons of Pastor Ryan's confirmation today. The elders and I believe that Pastor Ryan is the man that God has called to be the senior pastor of Christ Covenant Church. Early on, when I began and the elders and our wives began to spend time with Pastor Ryan and Isabel, we saw that they were worthy candidates and that he was a candidate that had, you know, a lot of godly character. But the question that I asked the elders on the night that we voted to extend our offer to him is, do you believe that he is the pastor that God is calling to be the senior pastor of this church going forward? And unanimously, every man that serves as an elder said, yes, he is. We believe that Isabel, his wife, is a godly woman. I believe that. That her husband, now this is important, that her husband has a calling from the Lord to serve as senior pastor. That's important. Kata and I actually went through 90 days. We waited, you know, in 2002 so that the Lord could confirm in her heart that God was calling me. And so that was one of the questions I asked Pastor Ryan. And early on, Isabel believed that Ryan had a calling to be a senior pastor. And so she's here. And you know what? She's going to be a strength to him because her ministry is to the Lord first, to Ryan, and then she's going to be a blessing and a strength to this congregation. I believe that. And I see that already. And I know many of you, you're going to be encouraged and blessed by her life, her ministry, and her influence. We believe that Pastor Ryan will accurately minister the truth of God's word from this pulpit. The men that handed off this church to me made it very clear that the most important ministry and responsibility that I had as a pastor was to respect and to minister the truth of God's word to you. The health and the life of any church is based on the ministry of God's word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and a covenant and committed people that will try to walk out those things in their life. That's how transformation happens. And I believe that Pastor Ryan is a man who respects God's word. I believe that he will labor over God's word to speak the truth and to be accurate about what the text says. And then the last confirmation that I want to give to you is this, that we believe that Pastor Ryan will lead, will care, and protect this congregation as he becomes a senior pastor. I know that that's what's in his heart, and that's why God has called him here. And so I want to ask Pastor Ryan and Isabel if y'all would come and join us now. I'd like to ask the elders, y'all come, just come right here, all right? I'd like to ask the elders, ladies, if y'all would gather around Isabel, if you would. Brothers, if y'all would come here, all right? There we go. John, come on over here. You're good. Brothers, ladies, brothers, I'd like to just start with y'all, if you would, all right? So, God put something, okay? We're going to take a few minutes to do this, okay? This is a great time. Yes, sir. Let me get over here.
Brother Ryan, the scripture says when David was anointed by Samuel, it says, the Lord God said, I am sending you to find that son who will be king. It says, I have chosen one of his sons. Love that. I've chosen one. Later it says, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. They went after it. And I think that has happened in this process for you. You've waited. You've sought. And we have too. But then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He's the one. That's what we're after. You're the one. I have read this and read this over and over, and this just comes alive to me. Rise and anoint him. He's the one. So they took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And I believe that day is here for you. Those things, though that was centuries ago, times ago, that's the fulfillment this day for this church. I bless you and ask God to bless you in the days ahead for what you'll do here.
Yeah, you know, as I was praying this morning, I just felt like the Lord was saying that the legacy of this ministry begins today. And it's not a legacy with a man's name on it, although God always chooses men to carry the legacy. But the legacy will be of God's move among us as we steward, and as you, Ryan, steward the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that comes in power. So the legacy starts today.
Now, I see the hand of the Lord on you. Saw that when I first met you, dreamed about you in that. And that my prayer is that the Lord would prosper you in all that your hands, in all that you put your hands to. And that you are not alone in this. For we as a congregation will support you, will pray for you. We will be diligently praying for you. And I just pray that the wisdom of the Lord would continue to just be upon you, that the word of the Lord would be real and life to you, even in all that you go through, that the Lord would just be with you and that he would prosper you in all that you do. And I just see that upon you.
Ladies, anything?
Lord God, bless these two as they take up the reins to lead us into the future. It's just good. It's good with the work and the toil that my husband and I have done for years and years. It's good to have freshness to take up the reins. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
When I think of Isabel, the first time I met her, I saw her and I said, but Lord, she's so young. And then the Lord reminded me that Mary was very young, even younger. And so when I see her, I see the heart of Mary in her and the willingness to simply obey the Lord in whatever he calls them to do. Her beauty represents a whole lot, a whole lot. I love her. She's beautiful inside and out. And Ryan, I just have this love for you like if you were my son. And I just want you to know that I will be praying for both of you. You're sweet and delicate. And I pray that the Lord will preserve that in you. Your sweetness, your gentleness, and your delicate spirit. You're precious. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you every step of the way. And that your ears and your hearts will be totally open to what the Lord wants to do. Because there are some changes that are coming. And they are great. And you're going to be the one leading those changes. And I'm so excited for this church. I am so excited. And every tear that I shed is of joy. It's just joy and love that I have for these people. So I want to bless you in the name of the Lord. And thank you for obeying the Lord and answering our prayer.
I believe standing here today, this little one growing inside of you is a symbol to us of the new life. You talked about changes, but the newness that is coming to Christ Covenant Church. And so I just want to say I look forward to the physical life, but the life in the spirit that God is going to bring through you. And it's our honor to serve alongside you, and we do covet to pray for you. God bless you.
Well, let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are such a great God. You're a loving Father. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to Christ Covenant Church. Lord, this church belongs to you. Lord, we are spiritual sons and spiritual daughters that belong to you, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the call on Pastor Ryan and Isabel to come. Lord, your spiritual son and your spiritual daughter, Father. And so we pray your blessing, and we receive him as our senior pastor. We receive Isabel, Lord, as a pastor's, his pastor's or pastor's wife. And Lord, for all that she is and all that she will be, Lord, will be a blessing, not only to him, but to this congregation. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have called him to build. And Lord, that the fresh vision that he needs, the plans, Lord, that you're going to speak that. Lord, I believe that there are going to be people that are going to come here and they're going to be captured by the vision. And Lord, as you promised in the future to this church, Lord, this church will not lack the resources to become and, Lord, to do all that you've called it to do. And Lord, as I saw, Lord, standing on a slab at the end of this building, I believe that Pastor Ryan was a promise, Lord, that you would send all the resources, God, that would be needed. Lord, he's going to build with fresh lumber. He's not going to build with the old, God. And you're going to provide, and he's going to see a move of your spirit and a transformation, Lord. People's lives are going to be changed, Lord, as he leads and as they minister, God. And so I thank you. I pray for the congregation, Lord, that each one, Lord, would take their place, Lord, that they would pray, that they would give, that they would support, that they would do every member ministry, Father. And thank you. May they be a blessing to Pastor Ryan and Isabel, to Luke, and to baby Nora, God. Lord, we receive them, and Lord, we set him in today as senior pastor of Christ Covenant Church, knowing and believing by faith, God, that you've called him, that he is your man, and this is your woman of God, Lord, to come and to lead us in these days ahead. We receive them now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, what a good day. I want to encourage everyone, if you have a child that's part of Covenant Kids, this is the time that we dismiss the children and the volunteers. You're free to do that as well. Wow, what a day. We're so glad to to be here with you. And before I jump into the message, and don't worry, it will be condensed this morning because I know we've gone a little while so far. Before I jump into what God's been stirring on my heart, I just want to honor a couple more people. So if you'd allow me the privilege to do that, I'd appreciate it. And I want to start out with Pastor Dennis and Kata. From the very moment that we first met you, your heart, your warmth just shines through. Really, we counted you friends from the moment we met you. And Kata, everything that you said, we feel the same way about you and Pastor Dennis. We love you so much. And church, I don't know if you realize this, but the transition doesn't always take place like this when it comes to pastoral succession. This is rare, and you've led the way in that. Your sensitivity, the Holy Spirit, the way that you've led this church faithfully for over a decade, well over a decade, I just want to honor you and thank you for what you've done. You've honored God through the entire process. You've set my wife and I up for success. And we just want you to know that we love you. We count you as friends from this day moving forward. And we're so thankful for you. And can we put our hands together and clap for Pastor Dennis and Kata? We love you so much. So much. Wow. So excited to be here. We just moved in on Thursday, so just a couple of days ago, right here about 10 minutes away in Cyprus. And really, it's as I was praying about today and thinking about it, it's hard to put into words just how excited we are. We love you so much, and we know we haven't met every single one of you yet. We hope that will change here shortly after the service. We can't wait to get to know you, to hear your story, what God's done in your life, what you're believing God for. We can't wait to pray with you and believe God in big ways with you. And next week, we'll talk about some intentional opportunities that we're going to set up for us to get to do just that. But it's, again, from our heart to yours, we love you, your family, and this is God's church. And we're going to lead this the best way we know how. And we thank you for the honor that it is to be your senior pastors. I also want to highlight this morning, I'll get to the message here in just a second. I want to highlight a couple of special guests that I have with me today, all the way from Dallas, Texas, where I'm from, where I was born and raised. My mom and my dad and my brother are here, and they're also with our son Luke. Guys, would you stand? We're so honored to have you with us. You know, my mom and dad, they are the exact example of what it looks like to live your life for Jesus Christ. They've discipled me, they've coached me, they brought discipline in my life when necessary. And it's not a stretch at all to say this, that I would not be here today without them. And so I want you to know that I love you. I'm so thankful for the years of prayers that you prayed over me. I'm so thankful for the countless hours that you poured into my life. And Landon, he's not my twin, by the way, but Landon, my brother, I love you. I'm so thankful for you and what God's doing and what God's going to do in your life. And little Luke, about to be a big brother. He's a little under the weather today, but so excited for him. And he's such a great boy. And again, excited about this day. If you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read here in just a moment. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 3 out of the NIV version. But any translation you have or paraphrase will work. You'll be able to hang with us. Just three verses today. And as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, I want to go before the Lord one more time in prayer to ready our hearts. God, we love you so much. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for family. I thank you for friends. And we just pray, God, as we get ready to dive into your word, that you would pour out your love upon us. We pray, God, that you would bring revelation to each and every one. We pray, God, that our hearts would be soft soil to be able to receive your word. We pray, God, that our ears would be open to hear from you, that our eyes would be open to see what you want us to see. And we come against any distraction, anything that would hinder you coming to us and revealing yourself to us from your word. God, we pray and we come against that. Open us up, young and old alike, whether we've been a Christian for 50 years or we're not even a believer. God, we pray for each of us that we'd be open to you. Have your way in this place, we pray. And if you believe it with me, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here's what God's word says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen. If you're a note taker in church and you want the title of the message, I'm going to give it to you right here from the top. Here's my title, Fight to the Finish. If you're a note taker, jot that down, Fight to the Finish. And over the next few moments, I want to give us today just a few observations from this text that will help us all fight to the finish. And the first point, again, if you're taking notes, is this. Number one, lose the weight. Can I get an amen? Lose the weight. And I'm not talking about calories here. Lose the weight. I'm going to reread just real quickly the beginning of verse 1 where we see this take place. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the weight and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, there was a story I heard a while back that I think kind of puts this point into great perspective for us. But the story, it's true, and it's about a man. He was driving a Ford Thunderbird back in 1963. Pretty nice car. And so he was driving this car, but there was one problem with the Ford Thunderbird. The tires were bald. They had no tread on them. And so tragically, the story gets bad real quick, just to let you know. But tragically, he hydroplaned on some water in his Ford Thunderbird and slammed into a semi-truck. So as you can imagine, the scene was not very pretty. In fact, the local news that picked up this story, they thought just for sure there's no way that anybody could survive. And so they were reporting that there was a fatality at the wreck. But he didn't die, but again, things didn't look so great. They took him out of the carnage there. They took him to the hospital, true story, and they picked out something like 50 pieces of glass from his body. Not just that, but he broke at least 4 ribs and his hip in several different places. He was in a full body cast for over 8 weeks in the hospital. Not a good day, right? Not a good day at all. And so this man, he eventually recovered slowly, but eventually did. And years ended up going by as his wounds healed. Decades eventually went by, and he always remembered that accident. It had left a mark on his life, but he had moved past it, so he thought. So decades later, he ends up going to a courthouse. I'm not sure for what reason, but he goes there, and he goes through the metal detector, just like you would normally go through when you're going on an airplane, right, checking through TSA, and he goes through, and the metal detector goes off. He thinks that's strange, and so he does what most of us would do in that scenario. He's checking for his keys and making sure his watch was taken off, or, oh, I had a quarter in my pocket, that sort of thing. And so he does this routine a couple of times, but every time the metal detector keeps going off. He thinks that's strange. Well, it eventually gets to the point, I imagine, where they wand him. Maybe you've been in that scenario before at TSA. So they take the wand like all over his body, and they eventually go to his right forearm. And the wand goes off. He thinks it's strange. He doesn't have anything metal in his body. He doesn't remember anything like that happening. You think you would. And so he goes through this process. Eventually he makes his way through. But he can't help but think about, why was my arm setting off this metal detector? Well, this leads to some more research in his life. It eventually led to a surgery where the surgeons took out a 7-inch metal rod that was inside his right forearm. And as they saw this, of course, this is not a normal situation, not a normal scenario. So they did even more research, and they found out, this is crazy, but it's true, that it's actually that 7-inch metal rod was the right turn signal for a 1963 Ford Thunderbird. What happened, the wreck was so violent that he thrust his right arm into the turn signal and broke it off in the middle of that wreck. And the doctors, they were doing their jobs, but they just assumed that that wound was like all the others with the glass. And so his arm literally healed over that which he was carrying, and he didn't even know it. In fact, he carried it for 51 years without knowing. And the point is this: long after impact, we can be devastatingly affected. Just the truth. He thought that he was fine and done with that. He had no idea that he was carrying a foreign object in his body for 51 years. He had no idea that this was taking place. And you've got to hear me today, church. Some of us can go through life carrying weight and we have no idea. Something that happened to us or a decision that we made in our youth, and we're carrying that excess baggage with us through life until somebody points it out. And I've got a word from the Lord for you today. God tells us clearly in Hebrews chapter 12 at the beginning of verse 1 that we've got to lose that weight. We can't afford to carry it any longer. It entraps us. It ensnares us. It is not good for us. Say it to you this way: we've got to cut the sin out of our lives because it will mess up the race that God has called us to run. And really, we've got to be careful because the devil is really good at making sin look like something it's not. You know, it's not always easy to see it is what it is. It's not really easy at times to know that sin is really going to take us down. You know, one thing that I love to do from time to time is I love to go fishing. And I don't do it very often, but I just want to ask today and help me out this morning. But does anybody here, do you like to fish? Any men or women? Okay, a decent amount. I don't go as much as I would like, but it was a while back. My wife remembers this. She's from Carson City, Nevada, which is right by Lake Tahoe. I don't know if you've been or heard of Lake Tahoe. I think it's one of the seven wonders of the world. That's just my opinion. I think it's beautiful. And so the other day we were with her, a couple years ago, in fact, we were with her family, her mom and dad and her sister, and we were all, I think it was around Thanksgiving or something like that. And her dad just kind of pipes up. He's an expert fisherman. He pipes up, "Hey, Ryan, Isabel, would you like to go to Lake Tahoe and charter a boat out there and have some guides take us fishing?" And we were like, "Yes, please, let's do that." And so we go out there on the middle of the lake, and just let me give you a little context here. My wife and I are very competitive, okay? Now, everybody, you can meet me for 5 minutes, and you can probably realize, like, if I'm playing tiddlywinks, I want to win, okay? That's just how I'm wired, all right? But my wife, I call it, she's closet competitive. She kind of hides it a little. I love you, babe, but it's just the truth. And so we were going fishing, and I was like, "Hey, I want to catch the most fish." You know, like, we've had some late night board game sessions at our house after we put our son to sleep. We play this game called Mancala, I think, and it's got marble. Anyways, it gets crazy. We're not mean, but we go hard, all right? Just say it. And so I'm like, I got to catch more fish than my wife. And even if you're not a fisherman, you get the basic concept of fishing, right? You don't just throw out a hook. Good luck with that. You've got to put bait on the end of the hook. So we were there in Lake Tahoe, and we had expert guides. Again, her father, I would say, is an expert fisherman. And so we had the best people around. We had the best bait. I mean, he paid for it. We had the best, like, everything, the best boat, the best location. They had the sonar, all that kind of stuff. And guess how many fish I caught? This many. Guess how many fish my father-in-law caught? This many. Guess how many fish Isabel caught? More than that. Anyways, and so, but again, to fish, yeah, props to you. But to fish, you can't just throw a hook out there. You've got to entice the fish. We can all agree this morning that fish are not very intelligent animals, right? It's just the truth. But they're smart enough to not bite a hook. You've got to entice them. And really, that's what the devil does to us. He entices us. He's not perfect. He's definitely not God, not even close, but he is smart. The Bible tells us the devil's cunning. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He makes plans. He will try to take you out. Even if you've been a believer for 50 plus years, still, you are not exempt from his schemes. In fact, he may want to take you down more because you have more influence in your family, in your neighborhood, at your job. So the devil, in my opinion, he's an expert fisherman. He knows what trips us up. He realized that God has called us, that there's a purpose, there's a mission on our lives, and he doesn't want us to finish our race. He doesn't. And God has called us all to fight to the finish, but the devil doesn't want us to finish well. And so he'll use whatever he can. And I don't know what that sin looks like for you. I don't know if it's gossip wrapped around to be like prayer requests. You know, it's like, oh, you know what? Susie and John, their marriage, oh, they're struggling. Well, let's pray for that. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know if it's lying about your past and making it look a lot better than it really is. I don't know if it's something that you've done at your work, that you went around some things and you did things a little bit crooked and you massaged some numbers, so to speak. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's a secret addiction in your life that maybe your spouse doesn't even know about, maybe your kids, maybe your mom, dad. I don't know what that sin looks like for you, but I got to tell you today, lose the weight. You were never meant to run your race with excess baggage. Try running a marathon 26 miles with an extra 50 pounds on your back. Not easy. And not the race that God's called you to run. Number one, you've got to lose the weight. You got to lose the weight. I've heard it say this way before regarding sin. Sin takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it's so true. You've got to be careful. And if that's you today, you're carrying some excess baggage. God wants to deal with that if you let him. The second point this morning is this. Number two, never give up. Never give up. The end of verse 1 is where we get this from. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us run with perseverance. I love that word. The race marked out for us. As many of you know by now, we've got a son and 4 years old. And we're trying at a young age to train him up as the word declares. In fact, I'll just be honest with you, from day one here at the church as senior pastor, my children are my greatest calling from God. In fact, it's the truth for you. What good would it be if we win the entire city of Houston to the Lord, but I don't win my kids to the Lord? It's number one priority. It should be for you as well. And so my wife and I, we work hard at that. We take that job seriously. He's a special boy, he is. And we know we're biased, but we believe that with all our heart. But one of the things we're teaching, like even at 4 years old and younger, one of the things that we've been instilling in him is this, that Weems, that's my last name, by the way, never give up. That little motto, that little phrase, we tell him over, in fact, I think I said it yesterday a couple of times, Weems never give up. Now, if you have young kids or young grandkids, you know that when you teach them something, it can turn around on you, right? You know that. Like the other day, I think we were trying to get somewhere, and I was like, you know, Luke, I don't know if we can make it there. And he said, Dad, Weems never give up. And I'm like, yes, you're right. But it's true. That's what God's called us to. That when things get hard, when you get a bad report, when you lose a loved one, that you don't give up. When you scrape your knees and when you pull a hamstring in your race, that you keep moving forward. Can't stop, won't stop. God wants you to continue your race. And I don't know if you're here today and you're tired in your race. I don't know if there's some people underneath the sound of my voice that you've been stumbling. Maybe you were at a sprint for a while and you forgot it was a marathon. That's what our race is. And so you got tired. I don't know if there's some volunteers in the church today that you're thinking, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if there's some people here today that you just started tithing, and the second you started honoring God with your finances, you had unforeseen bills pop up. I don't know what hindrance has come against you. I don't know what situation God's calling you to persevere through, but I got to tell you today, he still called you to persevere. You've got to never give up. That even when everybody else gives up, Even when that family member gives up, even that person that you looked up to in the faith gives up, God has called you to never give up. It's his calling for us when we run our race individually, but also our race together, corporately. Christ's covenant never gives up. If you're ready to give up today, let me encourage you from another text from God's word. You don't have to turn there if you want. I'm going to hit it real quick. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. If you're thinking about throwing in the towel today, this is for you. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. You know, this is the same type of attitude. This grit, same type of attitude that somebody has that I've heard his story many times. Maybe you have as well. But in 1992, the Summer Olympics, there was a field and track star named Derek Richmond. And I don't know if you saw this live. Of course, millions of people every year that the Olympics are on, whether it's summer or winter, they're watching. And he really displayed this principle from God's word so perfectly. In fact, you can Google it later or look on YouTube, but there's videos of what I'm about to talk about, how powerful it was, and I think it even got turned into a Nike commercial sometime down the road. But Derek Richmond, field and track star, but he had been through a lot of adversity. In fact, he had 8 different surgeries to get ready for the summer of 1992, and he's getting ready to run his race, literally, there at the Olympics with millions watching. He had trained and went through so much rehab to get to that point. But as he got down the blocks and as the gun went off and as he began his race, he severely pulled his hamstring. Severely. Think about his mindset for a moment. 8 surgeries, years of competition. You know just as good as I do that most people that go into the Olympics, they train their whole lives for that one moment. All of that perseverance, he comes off the blocks and he pulls his hamstring severely. Again, you can look this up later if you like, but in the video, he crouches down in extreme pain. He's thinking in his mind, well, I don't know what I can do. And he's like, I'm going to finish this race. And so he gets up and he begins to hop on one leg to the finish line. Most people have finished that race by then. Of course, he's dead last. And he's struggling. He's hopping on one leg and he keeps falling down. He gathers his composure. He gets back up. He hops some more, falls down. This happens for a little while until his dad. It's a beautiful scene. His dad comes out of the grandstands. He has to fight off the Olympic referees because they're like, don't touch him. He'll be disqualified. The dad's fighting them off because he doesn't care at that point. He gets to his son. He was wearing a Nike shirt. That's why I got turned into a Nike commercial. And he gets underneath his son's shoulder and he carries him to the finish line. And isn't that a beautiful portrayal of what God does for us? As we persevere, as we run, as we get injured and we keep moving forward, when we can't make any longer, what does God do? He comes out of the grandstands of heaven. He comes right beside us. And when we can't carry ourselves, he carries us. When we can't make it another moment, when we're ready to give up, when all hope is lost, he comes in the 9th hour. He saves us. He rescues us. And so I've got a word from the Lord for somebody today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Press on to the mark that God has called you to. Amen. I've got a third point today if you're taking notes as we get ready to hit an ending here. Number 3. The third point from the text that I want us to talk about from God's word is this. Adjust your lens. Adjust your lens. We see this in the last 2 verses from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read them again quickly. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, perseverance, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, the secret to you fighting to the finish. The secret to you finishing your race is to realize that the race is not about you, it's about him. The secret to finish what God has called you to is to realize that you play a small role in this. You do play a role. That's how God set it up. But he plays the main role. You know, if anybody asks you, what's the Bible about? The wrong answer is me. The right answer is him. He's the main character. He's the author. I mean, he's everything. And so your race is about him. And so often, even those of us that have been believers for years, we get our lens, we get our gaze on the wrong thing. It's easy. Life beats you up. If you haven't faced adversity yet, you're just not old enough, okay? It's going to happen. You either just came out of something or you're in something or you're going into something. That's just how it works. It's just life. Life is tough. We live in a fallen world. And so we've got to adjust our lens. You know, on your iPhone, on your smartphone, Android, Samsung, whatever you've got, okay? There's an adjustment that you can do when you're taking a picture, right? It's called the focus. It does all the work for us now, our phones, but still, you hold your finger on that screen, and what does it do? It focuses on the right thing, and everything else fades into the background. And that's what you got to do in your race. It's easy to want to give up when you're focusing on the problems. And I'm not telling you, like, hear my heart. I'm not telling you to sweep things under the rug or pretend like they're not there. Oh, I'm not sick, and you just went to the doctor. No, I'm not. Don't do that, okay? Like, if you're sick, you're sick. Ask God for healing, but also go to the doctor, okay? Both those things are good. God heals them both those ways. I'm not saying sweep it under the rug. I'm not saying naming and claiming or blabbing and grabbing. I'm not doing any of that kind of stuff, okay? I'm saying that instead of praying about your problems, start declaring God's promises. That's what I'm saying, that you've got to adjust your lens. You've got to focus on Jesus, because when you focus on Jesus, even in the middle of a bad situation, it doesn't change your situation necessarily, but it changes you in the middle of the situation. I'm just saying, you've got to adjust your lens. It's what God's called you to. And so if you walked in today feeling so heavy because you're thinking about all your problems, I want you to leave today saying, you know what? My problems may not change, but God can change me in the middle of my problems. I'm going to focus on him. I'm going to declare his goodness like we did at the beginning of the service. I'm going to say, God, you are good no matter the good things or the bad things that are happening to me. It doesn't change the truth that you're with me, that you're for me, that we've got a race to run, and we're going to run it with diligence, we're going to run it with grit, we're going to run it with perseverance. We've got to adjust our lens. If you would this morning, would you bow your heads with me as we pray together? Jesus, we love you so much, and maybe there's even some people in the room that they don't love you. God, I'm so glad they're here. They are welcome. This is a place where it's not okay, or where it's okay to not be okay. This is a place, God, where all are welcome. People that know you, people that are close to you, and people that are far from you, because we believe this: you hang around the pool long enough, you're going to eventually jump in. So God, we love you. We thank you for everyone here. And I just pray for each of us this morning. I pray, God, that your word would light a fire underneath us. And if there's anything that we've been struggling with that we talked about, or maybe even something we didn't talk about, but Holy Spirit, you spoke it to their hearts, I pray right now that we would do business with you right where we're seated. God, if we're here and we're thinking about giving up, I pray, God, we would be encouraged this morning that you're for us, that you're not against us. When we can't continue on, you come and you help us. God, I pray if there's anyone here today that they've been focused on the problem, I pray they would leave focused on you, the one that can fix our problems. And even if you choose not to, you can fix us in the middle of the problems. And I pray, God, number one, that if there's anybody here that they brought baggage into this place, they feel heavy, not literally, but spiritually. And when I talked about secret sin, or I talked about us getting enticed and caught up in something we didn't even mean to, I believe that you revealed to some people that maybe they've been carrying some sin in their lives and maybe they didn't even know it. And so with every head bowed, all eyes closed but mine, if there's anybody in the room, don't raise your hand if it's not you, but if there's anybody here that you've been carrying some sin in your life that you know has separated you from God, then I want to deal with it right now. I want to give you an opportunity to get your heart right before the Lord. I'm not going to make you stand. I'm not going to make you come to the front. There's nothing wrong with those things. But right where you sit with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I want to pray a prayer with you if that's you. And so before I do, as a signal to me, if there's anybody here that you know that you're far from God, there's sin in your life that you have not asked God to deal with, and you want to make that right, you want to leave today knowing that you know that you know that you know that you are saved. If there's anybody here that you want to repeat a prayer after me, giving your life to God, recommitting your life to God, could you just lift up your hand right where you're seated? Anybody here? Jesus loves you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for speaking. You can put your hand down. All the believers in the room and also those that raised their hand a moment ago, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the believers in Jesus Christ are going to say it out loud with you as a sign of support. We're family. But I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. And the prayer simply says things like this. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. It says things like this. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the dead, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. It's all it says. There's nothing magical about it, but God's word tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And so for those that raised their hand a moment ago and all the believers in the room, would you repeat this prayer after me? Say this. Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me so much that you came, you died on the cross, you rose from the dead. I believe in you, and I ask you now to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I put my faith, my trust in you. I love you. I commit my life to you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me all across this place? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I want to invite our prayer teams down the front. If you want extra prayer for anything, something related to the message or just a life situation, or you want to stand in the gap for someone in your family or a friend, we want to pray with you. The altars are going to be open here at the front. We'd love to pray with you. Besides that, I know we mentioned it earlier in the service, but we want to invite you to join us for a reception that we're having in the fellowship hall. It's an honoring of Pastor Dennis and Cotton, of course, a chance for all of us to meet each other and hang out some more. And so we hope you'll stay for that. I believe it's Spring Creek Barbecue, am I right? And that's some good eating right there. And so we hope that you stay if you're able to. Again, we love you so much. In fact, I believe before we dismiss you here in just a moment, I'm going to pray over the food so we can dig right in. So let's pray one more time, and then again, the altars will be open. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this great church. We thank you for family, and we just pray you would bless that food to the nourishment of our bodies. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.